Hey, everybody, this is Ryden, and you're listening to Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. So be aware.
How's it going, my nerd friends? It is Friday, February 7th, 2014. This is the Nerd News Network exclusively here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. I am your lovely host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. If you're Canadian, you know this weather sucks. But, you know, that can be said about anywhere. It's North America, it's the winter. Though this one seems particularly more brutal than most. I don't remember having one this bad since I was a kid. So anyway, we are talking about the week that was from, well, the nerdity that happened around the world, space, time, and beyond. And, well, I'm here to deliver to you in a morning show-like format, kind of give you an idea on what's been going on in the world around you while you've been playing Minecraft, Rust, or if you've been playing that god-awful Call of Duty. Anyway, I actually got to send a shout-out almost immediately to Arthur. He sent us a couple of stories this week. He's sending us stories about a bionic hand and the end of the world. So from hope to hopelessness, depending on the spectrum that you want to look at. excuse me, folks. Trying to figure where I want to start this morning because I could talk about the big elephant in the room, and that's Sochi. The Olympics have started. I'm Canada, yay fun. I'll be honest with you guys though, I frankly could give a shit less about the Olympics that are going on right now. It's just not my thing, unless it's happening in my backyard. I frankly don't care. In fact, I'm actually more interested in esports. Actually, one of the things that I've been doing recently through the Xbox One using the Twitch app, I watch a lot of fighting game stuff on Twitch. I actually watched Apex a couple of weeks ago, which was a fantastic amount of fun. I forgot how much fun it was to be a part of that community. I used to play competitive Smash Brothers Brawl for a long time in Hamilton at the Pwn's Game Center. May they rest in peace. Used to play a pretty good pit, if I remember correctly, though I very rarely made it out of pools because I didn't have a very powerful down smash, so my character was more, I can annoy the crap out of you, as opposed to dealing mad damage or being able to bounce the crap out of you. But I had an awesome recovery. Now that I have downfalled you with bullshit, let's get down to what we're going to be talking about. Well, we got a few stories this week. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about a bionic hand, which means we are now one step closer to full body prosthesis, which would be rather awesome. We're also going to be talking about Ragnarok, which is the Viking apocalypse, which is going to be happening this month. In fact, I think next week, actually. So if we're broadcasting next week, well, I guess Odin's son has defeated the giant Fenrir wolf that's supposed to devour the world, or blah, blah, blah. We also found out what happened to the massive hack that happened at Target that got millions of people's credit card information. We're going to be talking about how that was the heating guy's fault. And we're also going to be talking about rapper Ice-T. You may know him from, I think it was... It's Splawn Order, SVU, I think. He's one of the guys on there. And we're also going to be talking about Mr. Spock and his battle with cancer. So let's start this thing off a little bit kind of funny, just because we do have some serious ones to kind of deal with here. So the first one we're going to be talking about is Ice-T accidentally recorded a Dungeons & Dragons audiobook. This story comes to us courtesy of Kotaku, and there actually is going to be an audio component to this. If you want to go listen to Ice-T's podcast, you can go check that out. So he got a job to go check out to record an audiobook for Audible.com, one of the sponsors of this show as well. and so he went in there and he figured, I only have to read 45 pages, bing, bang, I'll be in and out in 2 hours. Well, I'm going to read some excerpts from his podcast. Son, it took me 3 to 5 hours to record 25 pages. Motherfuckers talk like Yoda. This shit is impossible to me. Pegasus, Pegasi, that's horse with wings. That shit is crazy. This motherfucker got a sword that talks to him and shit. Motherfuckers live in places that don't exist. It's actually pretty funny to hear him talk about D&D. I kind of wonder what audiobook he's actually recording for that. It would be kind of funny if he was recording, like, something for Planescape where he was that talking skull. I would have that CD on in the car all the time if he did record a new version of Planescape. That's not going to happen, but wouldn't that be amusing as shit, all just the same? So, he threatens his agent that he'll never book him for another D&D gig again. Which is kind of sad, because I think Ice-T could actually record some stuff in D&D if he got him into the right, maybe the right setting. I'm not saying he's exactly Mr. Forgotten Realms or Mr. Ravenloft. But with his gruff voice, I could picture him doing something in, say, Dark Sun, or maybe even something in Pathfinder, if he wanted to jump fantasy genres. So that's kind of unfortunate. Actually, you know where Ice-T might be kind of a fun voice to have? In Shadowrun, or Battletech, if, like, Catalyst Game Labs could get him to read some of their fiction. I guess after this experience with us nerds and shit, we're not as cool as we should be to give street cred. Then again, you play on a crime show, you play a pretend scientist or whatever. Whatever, I guess I can't hold it against him. Maybe Exhibit's not busy. I guess I can kind of hope. Yo, dog! Okay, even I felt stupid saying that one. Moving on. The next thing that I want to talk about is, let me see, where do I want to go here? Alright, this one I found particularly amusing, if you will. Well, as you may know, 40 million customers had their data compromised through Target about a month or two back, and that includes debit card information, credit card information, etc., etc. Well, according to a security blogger, Brian Krebs, this story comes to us via Gizmodo.com, it was actually a third-party vendor that actually does, and I'm actually going to read this somewhat verbatim, just so you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. According to security blogger Brian Krebs, that third-party vendor who Target had been piling the blame on for the breach was actually a refrigeration, heating, and air conditioning subcontractor, Phazo Mechanical Services. Apparently, the hackers stole Phazo's login information and were able to access the Target network through him. So, basically, what it means is, here's how it was explained. I'm actually just going to read this a little bit more so you guys kind of get where I'm coming from. So, why did a third-party HVAC company's login able to grant hackers access to such sensitive customer data? In short, it saves Target money, or at least it was supposed to. A cybersecurity expert who chose to remain nameless revealed to Krebs that large retailers will often hire a team to monitor energy consumption and cut costs whenever possible. As the source explained to Krebs, to support this solution, vendors need to be able to remote into the system in order to do maintenance, updates, patches, etc., or to troubleshoot glitches and connectivity issues with the software. This feeds into the topic of cost savings. With so many solutions in a given organization and to save on headcount, it is sometimes beneficial to allow a vendor to support versus train or hire extra people. It then goes on to say, after lifting the contractor's login information, the hackers were then able to test their malware on a small number of Target's registers totally undetected between November 15th and November 28th. According to the investigator speaking to Krebs, 2 days later, the hacking software had been spread to a majority of Target stores and actively collecting data from live customer transactions between November 27th and December 15th. As of now, it's not totally clear what kind of legal consequences for Target's facing for not adhering to current payment card industry security standards, which require two-factor authentication to be able to remotely access the network, something that Target didn't have. Wow. Sorry, had to sneeze there. Yeah, I would really like to know why they didn't bother having this, what's supposed to be industry standard, two-step authentication there, because I, like many of you, probably want my data to be protected. And it's really sad when these huge corporations, which are making money hand over fist, have to cut little corners like this. I'm sorry, like, you have the money and the resources to put stops in place or to put additional personnel. You're always saying, oh, we do such good for the community. We're creating jobs. We are the top of our game. We're the number one retailer. Well, then, frankly, fucking act like it. I don't see why you would do this. And the fact that it was given to the HVAC guys, the guys who clean the ducts, of all the people in all the world who now have your credit card information, it was installed by what likely was Tim the heating guy. Completely screwed you over without even realizing it. So, I don't know, Target, I know you can do better. I know you do a lot of good in the communities that you service. So please, for the love of God, give some college kid a job out of college and help, you know, build your internal security better. Work with Visa, MasterCard, American Express. In fact, who uses American Express? To help make your systems better. And frankly, don't be lazy. You will get the money back, I'm sure. Moving on to the next story that I want to talk about. This one is particularly cool. I'm a huge fan of futurist stuff. Basically, I would consider myself a futurist as well. I like following advances in medicine, in particular, like anything involving bionics or cybernetics. And this is really cool. Now, this story comes to us out of Yahoo News, and this comes out of London. Dennis Sorensen, this guy lost his left hand when he was holding a firework, and it basically blew up his hand 10 years ago. So he's got a stump right there, and it took his hand almost completely clean off. But last year, he was given this bionic hand. They installed nerves that were wired into his head. And basically, when he thinks, the hand moves. The best way to illustrate this is the scene at the end of The Empire Strikes Back in Star Wars, where Luke's getting his new hand from the 2-1-B medical droid. Much like that, although on a much more primitive scale, so to speak. So what they say, I'm actually going to read once again from the article here, is a prototype device which was wired to nerves in the 36-year-old Dane's left arm blurs the boundary between body and machine, and scientists hope it could one day revolutionize the lives of many amputees. There's still work to be done in miniaturizing components and tidying away the trailing cables that mean the robotic hand has so far been used in the lab. But Sorensen said the European research team behind the project had got the basics right. It was a great experience. It's amazing to feel something you haven't been able to feel for so many years, he told Reuters in a telephone interview. It was pretty close to having the same feeling as in my normal hand. Details from the month-long use of the bionic hand, including results from a week of concentrated daily tests, were reported by researchers from Italy, Switzerland, Germany, Britain, and Denmark in the Journal of Scientific Translational Medicine on Wednesday. I actually watched a story about this on, I think it was SourceFed or DNews, about this, how he was able to be able to tell the difference between objects' hardness and softness. He could apply different pressures. They even put on headphones and a blindfold, basically to deprive him of some additional senses to see if he could still replicate the results, and he could. Now, let's admit it, we're a pretty long step off from having RoboCop here in terms of having a full hand that can do everything that your other one could do, but it's a very promising step. The fact, because the hand has so many fine motor functions within it, I find this extremely cool, and just imagining people who had lost their hands in war or via accidents or, you know, even birth defects to have a fully functioning normal hand, and hopefully to make this technology affordable to everybody. I think that would be utterly fantastic. And I really hope this prototype and this data leads to more and more promising research sometime down the road. I'm just going to take a drink of water here. So talk amongst yourselves. Here's a topic. What, actually, you know what? I am actually going to be serious with this one. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net. What do you see as the benefit of having man and machine become more and more integrated? Like, be it bionic implants for hands. What would you think about having, say, your credit card installed in your hand? Basically having biometric data identify you rather than carry around a wallet, for example. So talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back in about 10 seconds. See, that's the disadvantage of not having a producer in studio who could help you do this and, you know, go to a jingle, go to commercial. But I am indeed a one-man show. It's just how I roll. Let's keep talking. This next story is, well, guys, you've only got another couple of weeks, maybe even less than a week, depending on how I read this story. I'm just going to, okay, so you got about 2 weeks to live, give or take here. Well, Ragnarok, it's not just a summon in Final Fantasy anymore. This is actually a piece of Viking history. This article comes out of the UK from Yahoo, and they basically summarize it better than I ever could. Now, some of these names, there is no way in hell I'm going to be able to pronounce, even though I think one of my Assassin's Creed figures just committed suicide, even though I've seen the Thor movie several times. So Ragnarok, the end of the world, will begin when the wolf Fenrir, son of Loki, breaks out of his prison. A chain reaction then takes place with the Midgard snake Jörgamon rising from the sea and a wolf devouring the sun. These events will accumulate in a huge battle where the gods, mankind, and all races from the nine worlds will fight. God damn, that's going to be an awesome pay-per-view. But yes, evidently this year coincides with Ragnarok. And there was actually this huge festival, which takes place in York every February. And this one takes place on the 22nd of this year, and it's to mark the end of winter. So one of the people speaking for this, I'm just trying to find this guy's name. No one can say for certain, but we've interpreted the myths as best we can. What we do know for certain is that the Vikings loved to feast and wouldn't want to miss an event like this. Some have suggested Ragnarok has already happened, with prophecies being fulfilled in recent world events. In Norse mythology, it says, boundaries that exist shall crumble, and some will have interpreted this as the global rise of social media and the apparent non-existence of internet security. The Midgard serpent has also been linked to two giant oarfish that washed up ashore in California a few months ago. Daniel Dugan, the director of the festival, has said Ragnarok is the ultimate landmark in Viking mythology when the gods fall and die. So this really is an event that should not be underestimated. Well, you know what? We survived the Mayan apocalypse, which was to bring in the new world, which was sort of supposed to be the end of the 5th, the beginning of the 6th. I'm a nerd, and I interpreted that as to mean Shadowrun-type shit's gonna happen, with the Great Ghost Dance, and we'd see Lothwire the Dragon, and we'd have elves and orcs and shit. That didn't happen. So I'm guessing this one's not gonna happen either, give or take. Which actually kind of wants me to transition into this next story that I want to talk about before we talk about Mr. Spock. This week, it has been impossible to avoid this, so I'm just gonna sum up what happened. This week, Ken Ham of the Creationist Museum, I think it's, I can't remember what the website, I think it's Genesis Answers or something like that. I'll put a link in the episode description so you can go check it out yourself. And they invited Bill Nye, the Science Guy, to come out and argue creationism versus evolution. And it's this almost 3-hour debate, both sides giving very passionate arguments, but neither side really losing their cool. And this has been going on social media for the better part of the week. And obviously, there is no true right answer to this. And what I'm saying with this is both sides mutually have to respect each other, whether you're an early Earth creationist or you're an evolution/naturalist. I think the answer is probably somewhere in the middle here. Basically, to compromise, we agree to disagree, but I respect your worldview. I would like you to respect mine. And I said on Twitter this week that one of the greatest gifts we've been given, be it from a divine creator or of our own design, is knowledge. And we should never stop learning. We should never stop asking questions to understand how the universe works around us and or to answer the question of spirituality, which we will all ultimately find out that one day when eventually we all pass away. We won't know until that time, really. So I invite you to go check out this thing. I'm going to post a link so you can go check out the full 3-hour debate over, I think it's like debatelive.org or something like that. Either way, the episode, it'll be in the description anyway. So check that out. Now, to kind of end this episode on a little bit of a bummer, and I feel terrible for doing this, Leonard Nimoy, who we've known the world over as Mr. Spock, unfortunately has revealed he has lung cancer. The 82-year-old took to Twitter this week and reported that he has chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, despite the fact that he stopped smoking 30 years ago. And he urged his over 800,000 Twitter followers, you know what? Quit now. So that's terrible. Now, unfortunately, recently he was photographed going into a New York City hospital in a wheelchair attached to some kind of a breathing apparatus, probably oxygen or something of the like. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, it's kind of a term that encompasses things like emphysema, chronic bronchitis. It damages like air sacs and passages to the lungs, can make breathing a struggle. And the majority of these things are actually caused by cigarette smoke. My grandmother actually suffers from something remarkably similar, and she stopped smoking, I guess it's been about 10 years or more, and just has this incredibly wet cough, so I know exactly what this sounds like. So I'm hoping Mr. Nimoy can get the treatment that he needs to beat this disease, but being 82 years old, you know, and it'll be a sad day when this guy passes away, but I'm hoping it's from something unrelated to this. So good luck to you, Mr. Nimoy. I hope your words of encouragement get some of your 800,000 Twitter followers to stop smoking. It would be a fantastic thing if they did. So guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. Little more scatterbrained today. I'm just not myself today, but what are you going to do? But I always encourage you guys to get involved with the show. Check out the Facebook page that we always welcome feedback on there. You can email me feedback@thisweekingeek.net if you guys want to submit stories, just have a general comment about the show, or just, you know, say hello. It doesn't really matter. I love hearing from you guys. You can also interact with us on Twitter @ThisWeekInGeek or my personal one @BirdmanDodd. I generally reply to everybody as long as you're not a douchebag. And even if you are, I probably will anyway. So I hope you guys have a safe and fantastic weekend. Take this time to basically stay inside, stay warm, get some hot cocoa, and play some Killer Instinct. So guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd. This has been the Nerd News Network. Live free or die hard.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
Oh, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak, die, holy crap, whoa, where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random, I don't know, maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are
you?
Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net, This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.